Well, good morning. I am so glad that you are here this morning. Thanks for being here. Especially, maybe this is your first time to Oak Hills Church. We would love to connect with you, love to get a chance to meet you before you leave today. Thanks for being here. We are in a series we have entitled, This We Believe. We are exploring the biggest ideas that run throughout Scripture. And these are some big ideas. We have talked about the doctrine or the belief of God. He has existed eternally. He always has been. He didn't have a beginning. He always has been. Our God is one, existing in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Last week we talked about salvation, another big idea. We said that salvation is not just being saved from death, but that salvation is being saved for life. And I want to tell you, just last weekend and over this past week, the stories have been pouring in of people who have turned their life over to Jesus, who have given their life to Him, committed their life to Him. Can I just share with you just one of those stories? We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to share with you one of those from a man named Leon, who and his family joined me during prayer time last weekend during the service. He said, "You will be excited to know that being in the moment, that moment with the Holy Spirit during prayer time, was not the end. We went up and we confessed that He is the light in our life, and we were immersed in baptism in His love and gave it all to Him together with our children watching." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And I love the way he ended the message to me. He said, "We will continue to walk and bring others into this loving, beautiful, and merciful journey to be one with the Lord." Leon. I am so thankful for Leon and for his family and for all the other stories that have come in this past week. And just God is on the move in this place, and it is so exciting to be a part of it. Now, here in just a moment, we're going to talk about our next topic, the church. But before we do that, I've got one other thing that I want to update you on. We asked you last week if you would consider going to the big glass wall in the lobby and taking a sticky note and writing a name and putting it on that wall. That name was of someone that was on your heart that you would like to see be able to come to know Christ, to be able to receive salvation. I want you to take a look at this. You did just that. That's 1,555 sticky notes on that wall. That's 2,399 names on that wall. And I want you to know what happened this past week. Our staff went to the wall and one by one took each post-it note down and prayed over those names. And then they were all typed out and they were sent out to our prayer ministry, to our elders. Now, that's probably about another, 200 or so people. My math is not great, but my calculator said that's about 480,000 times that a name has been brought before the Father, carried to His throne, asking Him, "Draw them near to You." I figure there are probably about 8,000 of us this weekend that are going to be here in this room watching online. What do you say we add a few more? Let's pray together. Father, these are not just names. These, You know every single name because they were in Your heart and in Your mind before we were even formed in the womb. And so, Father, we know You to be the God who leaves 99 and goes and finds the one. And we know that You are drawing people near to You. Father, I pray that You will continue to do that. Continue to do the work that only You can do through the Holy Spirit. Father, would You continue? And speaking of work that only You can do, would you bless the preaching of Your word this morning? Would You bless the hearing and the doing of Your blessed word? In Jesus' name we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. We're even thinking maybe we'll just keep putting post-it notes on that wall. As long as you want to continue to make prayer requests, you can do that. Last week we talked about salvation, not just being saved from death, but being saved for life. This week we're going to take another turn. We want to talk about what does it look like to live that life. We said Christ is life. Well, what does it look like for us to live that life and to do it together? This week, we're talking about the church. I'm curious what you think about when you think about church. I know I've heard people say, I love Jesus, but given the choice, not the church. Well, I get that. I love the church. I love the local church, but I get it. Because the church is full of imperfect people. Church can be closed-minded. We can be closed off. Why, if someone were to levy the accusation that the most religious people can also be the most hypocritical, I wouldn't put up an argument on that. You know, I don't think Jesus would either. But to say that the church is a choice, well, you might want to prepare yourself for a little heavenly pushback. Because you see, the church is not a choice, because the church is God's choice. It's always been His choice. The church has been God's first choice. His choice to reach those who don't know Him. His choice to disciple those who do. His choice to put on display His love and His glory for a world that does not know Him. His choice, His first choice, and His only choice. Imperfect? Yes. Irrelevant? Well, not according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives just as what? Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Christ loved the church. He gave His life for her. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin there in verse 1 as I want you to hear from the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Ephesus. Beginning in verse 1, listen. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The first thing that I want us to notice from Ephesians 4 right here is that the church is called to unity. 7 times in just 3 verses, Paul uses the word one. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and all those things are one. Why? Because there is one God and Father of all. I think that probably points to a point of emphasis. Paul is saying that we are called to unity. Now, the other thing that I want you to notice is that when Paul talks about unity, he's not talking about something that the church is called to create or to make. No, our role is more of one to maintain unity. You see, to create unity, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do in the church. Our role, maintain that unity, keep that unity, to nurture that unity among us. But how do we do that? Well, there is a Greek word, allelon. Turn to your neighbor and say, allelon. It's only one word in the Greek, but it's 2 words in English, one another. Did you know that one another, that phrase is used 100 times in the New Testament alone. Again, I would say that is a point of emphasis. One another, allelon, 100 times. Can I give you just a few examples of that? Take a look at this. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another. Don't bite, devour, and consume one another. Don't challenge or envy one another. And be patient, bearing with one another. Okay, we'll just stop right there. I think you get the point. We could keep going. Allelon, one another. How do we keep the unity? How do we maintain the unity amongst ourselves? Well, we, one another, we care for one another. We take care of one another. We maintain unity in the body. The church is not just called to unity, but the church is also called to maturity. As Paul continues to write, let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature. Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Sometimes maybe you've heard me use the phrase growing in Christ-likeness. Here's what that means. That means that if you are in Christ, then Christ is in you. And the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Here's what that changes. You see, we do not change from the outside in. Because Christ is in us, God's Holy Spirit, we change from the inside out. We are transformed from the inside out. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, interwoven with the thoughts and the words and the actions of our Father, so much to the point that you can't even tell the difference. Day by day, to be transformed into his image. Sometimes, moment by moment, right? We can be transformed into the image of Christ. The church is called to do what healthy things do. They grow into maturity. Now, why is maturity so important to the church? Well, Paul answers that in verse 14. Let's take a look. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the what? Mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We are to grow to maturity. This is why we take the better part of our summer to talk about this we believe, to make sure that what we believe is aligned to Scripture, anchored in the very nature of God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We want to grow to maturity. We are called to unity. As a church, we are called to maturity. But as a church, we are called to serve. I received a call a while back from the conductor of the Delta Symphony Orchestra. He wanted to know if I would be interested in coming and being their guest solo vocalist. I said, well, I'm going to have to think about that. Yes. Okay, I thought about it, and that date will work just fine. He said, I didn't give you a date. I said, I know that. give me the date and we will make it work. I was so excited. I've never really been around an orchestra like that. So much so that I showed up a day early just to watch their rehearsal. When I got there, the musicians were already in place. They were intently looking over their music, adjusting their stands. They were making last-minute adjustments to their finely tuned instruments. Brief introductions were made, and at one point, the conductor took his place and raised his baton. Every eye in the room was on him. And when he lowered that baton, the violinist lowered the bow against the strings. But not just one violinist, there was an entire string section playing next to each other. They looked like they were playing beside a mirror. They were so in sync with each other. And the woodwinds. Then comes the brass. And then the percussionists, they wait patiently for their moment to bring the thunderous crescendo. The tuba, at one point, stops playing as if to say to the flutist, "No, come on, this is your moment." Yielding, listening, supporting, every note placed exactly where the conductor wanted it. Perfect harmony, perfect union. The well-intentioned notes placed, reflecting off of the beautiful mahogany paneled walls. Just how the conductor wanted it. Together. They were thinking about Tchaikovsky. I was thinking about the church. I want you to listen to what Paul has to say. This is in a different letter. He's writing to the Romans this time. Different letter, same message. He says in chapter 12, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then you give and give generously. If it is to lead, then you do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, and do it cheerfully." You see what Paul is saying? He's saying we are playing one song, the same song, but we don't all play the same parts. You see, each of us have been given a gift. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you. God's Holy Spirit resides within you, and that Holy Spirit has given you a spiritual gift. Yes, you have been given a spiritual gift. I don't know, maybe more than one. But you've been given these gifts to build up the body, to unity, and to maturity. The members aren't given these gifts to serve the members. The members serve the body. The body doesn't exist to serve the members. This is a beautiful picture that Paul is painting of the way the church is intended to work. But sometimes that's not the way it works. Sometimes it's not that picture that Paul's painting. It's something different. To illustrate the point, I'd like to invite the worship team to come out if they're around. Okay, you guys, if you'll come on out, I would love to have you help me illustrate the point that we all have different gifts, but we bring them together to serve the body, build it up to maturity and unity. Unfortunately, that's not the way it always works. You see, in some churches, what happens is, well, not everyone knows that they have a spiritual gift. or they don't understand what their spiritual gift is. And so what happens is you have one person or maybe a few in the church that understand what their gift is, and everyone is so happy to let them do everything by themselves. You doing all right? We need like a kazoo or something, you know, like to put right there. That's the only, but I think you get the picture. In fact, can we take a picture? Do you have a phone? Can I? Okay. If you guys don't mind, we're going to take a quick selfie here. There we go. Okay. Are you guys all in? Okay. On the count of three, let's say Chris does everything. One, two, three. Chris does everything. Got it. All right. Thank you guys. You'll go on back to your places. This is what happens when churches don't understand that everyone has a spiritual gift to bring to the table. Some people end up pulling double duty. That's kind of funny, but you know it's tragic when it happens in a church. There's another picture that I would like. Guys, could we go ahead and play one of the songs that we did earlier, 1,000 Tongues, 4,000 Tongues, and do it in the key of G? Is that right? And if we could go ahead and play that. Glenn, if you wouldn't mind to go ahead and click us off there. We'll just listen to what this... Wait, just a second. I almost forgot something. I'm sorry. With this picture, everyone's in place, and they might even know that they have a spiritual gift. But sometimes, even though we know we have a spiritual gift, sometimes we don't bring it to the table. Sometimes we decide just to hide it or keep it to ourselves. Or sometimes we decide to take that gift and just use it somewhere else outside of the purposes of the church. So before we do this next song, Evan, you found something better to do this weekend. Someone invited you to go skydiving. Yeah. You guys think that's funny. He does it all the time. Okay. Oh, now I'm just, okay. This is a metaphor. A little excited there. Okay. Mark, you know what? You found something else to do as well. You decided to take a coffee break. I don't know. Just take that gift and you're just going to, and Roman, somebody invited you. You're going to like this one. Somebody invited you to play on an adult summer soccer league, and you get to play soccer all summer, and you just don't have time for us anymore, okay? Chris, these guys flaked out on you, and you're just not feeling it. You're just not feeling worship this weekend, okay? Okay, all right. So this is for our second picture. Okay, Glenn, if you will, click us off.
4,000 times to sing the glories of our Lord God Almighty. Oh, to sing the Savior's praise, the triumph of His grace. You are worthy. You are worthy, God.
Not bad, but not good. You see, when those who have been given a spiritual gift don't bring it to the body, they don't bring it to the table, there's always going to be something missing. Do not buy into the lie that if you don't show up, someone else will do it. No, you've been given that gift for a reason, because the body needs it. And when you're not here, something's always going to be missing. I've got one more picture that I want to show you. Actually, you'll hear it more than see it. If you guys, if we could do that song again, except this time I want you to switch instruments, if you will. vocalist, just grab an instrument. Instrumentalist, grab a mic. Let's see what happens. Okay. I would not clap for this. I want you to listen real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul yet again. Different message, or same message, different letter. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. Well, this is a little bit of a different picture. Glenn? Oh, it's Randall. This should be interesting. We get the picture. Hey, there, you guys can go back to your spots. They're clapping, but that was for you, not for the song. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because if God gave you that song, I think he wants it back. But given that song and the rocks crying out, I think we're going to go with the rocks on that one. I kind of thought that would be bad, but that was wretched. Okay, so that's what happens when we know what our gift is, and we want to bring a gift to the table, but it's not the gift that we were created for, and we step into someone else's gift. That dissonance that you just felt as you heard that is the dissonance that the church feels when we are out of place. You see, God has placed all the parts in the body just where he wants them. So if we can have you guys, if y'all make sure to be in the places we would like for you to be, that will be much better. I want you to listen to this. A chapter later in 1 Corinthians 13, this is Paul. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Now, if you've ever read that passage and you wonder what a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal sounds like, we just heard it. This brings us to our last and final point. The church is called to love. Amen. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples by your knowledge? No. By your impressive buildings? No. By your impressive worship services? No. By your spiritual gifts? No. Not even your spiritual gifts. They will know that you are my disciples by your love. You see, love is superior to all the gifts. We bring our gifts, but we bring them in love. This is the picture that Paul paints in Scripture. Perfect harmony, perfect union, every part doing its part, just the way the conductor intended for it to be, together. Maybe you've never considered that you've been given a spiritual gift. I do want you to know that you have the opportunity today. We have provided for you a spiritual gifts assessment just to get you started thinking about the gift that God has given you. Maybe you've thought about your gifts before, but maybe it's been a while. You know, gifts change from time to time based on how God is moving and how he's moving in the church and what the church needs. Maybe there's a new work. We want to make that available to you. There's a link in your bulletin. It's on our website. You can go to our new church app, and it's underneath resources. Really easy to go there. It doesn't take long. You can do that. Or we would love to connect with you at Connection Central and talk to you about this right after the service today. But I want you to imagine a church like this. A church where everyone knows their place, their part, their gift. Not just a few people, but all the people bringing those gifts together to build up the church in maturity and in unity. I want you to imagine the power of the witness to a world that does not know God. They will know that you are my disciples by your love. I want you to imagine a church like that. Christ loved the church. He gave his life for her. She is not a choice. She is his choice. We are not perfect. We don't always play the right notes. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are called to unity. And we are called to maturity. And we are called to love and to serve. We are called to be the presence of Christ on this earth. We are called to be the body of Christ on this earth. So, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all the church said, amen.